a word that I think is timely for the church in America, and definitely timely for the church at BCC. I want to build off Pastor Jacob's recent sermon series, Revision, Reclaiming the Vision and the Values and the Mission of God's Kingdom. Jacob did an excellent job helping us to recognize the values of the kingdom and to separate them from the values of the culture and to help each of us re-examine where our values lie. He gave us a great foundation of the vision of what the church should look like and how we are to function together as a body with the Holy Spirit joining us and molding us and melting us. He gave us a good, solid teaching on the vision and the values of the kingdom. And this morning's message and the next 9 weeks in our Kingdom Come class, I want to further that vision with calling us back to the mission of the church. The building of the church is not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to build the kingdom of God. As Jacob taught us from 2 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. It's my desire to shine his light this morning. I've titled the message, Reclaiming the Gospel Message. We as 21st century American church as a whole have lost the story of Scripture. And in doing so, we've lost the Kingdom of God message. We've lost the Gospel message. I'm telling you this morning, I'm pregnant with the Kingdom of God. I have over 30 years of intentionally seeking God's kingdom. I have 10 weeks of Kingdom Come class swirling around in my head this morning. The kingdom is a big picture beyond what any of us can recognize. But I'm asking that the Spirit helps me this morning, because this may be the most critical message that I've ever preached. I need some help. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you do never leave us or forsake us. Lord, you promised us in old and you promised us in new that you would always be with us. Lord, you promised that you would establish your people in your kingdom through your power. And Lord, I come as a weak vessel this morning, recognizing, Lord, I have nothing to offer but words unless you anoint them with your Spirit. So Lord, I ask for you to anoint my words. And Lord, I recognize your kingdom is discerned spiritually. You told Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I ask that you open up our spiritual eyes to see, our ears to hear, give us a heart to understand that the enemy doesn't come and take your kingdom message from us. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. To start to reclaim the gospel message, would you turn with me to Matthew 4? We're going to look at verses 12 through 17. I have to admit I'm biting my tongue this morning, wondering why it's not on the overhead and I have to look in the Bible. I can't understand how anybody can come to church without a Bible. It's just not in me. I know we've got it on our phone and that's good, but I'm encouraging you. Bring your scripture. It's our foundation. It's our foundation. John Wayne would say, going to church without a Bible is like going to a showdown without a gun. All right, partner. Picking up in verse 12, it says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Isaiah, the prophet." This land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region, the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." That's the gospel message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. But it's not a new gospel message. There's a lot of talking about the kingdom today. There's a lot of buzz about the kingdom today. And I honestly believe it's God revealing or trying to reveal his kingdom message to call us back. But it is not a new message. It's the gospel message that was fulfilled through the story of God and how he raised his people up, how he called his nation out, how he is establishing his kingdom. It's the fulfillment of the Old Testament story. And that's why I'm concerned today that we've lost the story of the gospel. I'm glad that we're reading through the entire scripture in 2 years. But do you know how few of followers of Christ are reading the Old Testament today? If you don't know the Old Testament, you don't know the story of God. You don't know the gospel message. You're listening to someone else tell you what the gospel might be. But if it's not proclaiming what God said, what Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." That's the message to the church today. First, repent. We need to turn back to God. And in turning back to God, we're lining ourselves up with his story. We're lining ourselves up with his plans and purposes. We're lining ourselves up to be that kingdom of priests, that royal priesthood, that special treasure of his that he's raising up, that he's sending out to advance his kingdom in the world today. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. We hear many say, "Well, what is near?" Well, that's here. The theologians will tell you his kingdom is here and yet to come, and that's true. But too many of us are living in the "it's yet to come" and not establishing it in the here and now. His kingdom is for today. His kingdom has come since he's been inaugurated King of the Jews on that cross some 2,000 years ago. when in three different languages, what did they say? Why was Jesus being crucified? Don, did you put those seat belts in that I was asking? Because this is a heavy message. This is a weighty message. You're going to squirm. You're going to want to leave. I'm asking you, strap them on. Stay in. Give me time. Listen to it. It will change your life. It will give you victory. Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sin. As true as that may be, you're pardoned for sin because of Jesus dying on the cross. But Jesus died on the cross to establish his kingdom, to establish him king. And one of the benefits of that is your sins are forgiven. When's the last time somebody preached the gospel to you that way? When's the last time somebody preached the gospel that Jesus is king? Because that's the gospel message. That's the message the church needs to hear today. There is no other king. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The struggle throughout Scripture has been, we don't want him to be king. We want a king like the other nations. But he said, I am king. And when we can understand that, we will transform not only our lives, but the world around us. We'll turn it upside down like the early church did. What was the message the early church had? Jesus is king. His kingdom is here, and I'm part of it, and I want you to be part of it too. And it transformed the world. The world is different 2,000 years later because of that message, not because your sins have been forgiven. Oh, it's burning in me, Brad, like Jeremiah. I just can't hold it, man. I just can't hold it. The kingdom is here. The king is ruling and reigning in his everlasting kingdom. It's established and it will reign forever. Get a hold of it. Recognize it. Hold on to him. Hold on to him. He's our only answer today. And we need to draw back to the king. We need to make him first king in our lives. Submit every bit of ourselves and say, you are king, Lord Jesus. I'll bow the knee to no one else. I repent when I recognize I've put someone else or some other thing in front of you. You're the king, and I humbly come, and I bow down to you and to you alone. That's the message the world needs here today. That's the message the church has. That's our mission, is to tell the world, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we'll bow the knee to no other. And when we do, get ready. Because trouble's going to come. Persecution's going to come. Spiritual warfare is going to come. But most importantly, so is the king. The king is going to come and rule and reign over your life and rule and reign over the areas that you influence because he has all power in heaven and earth today. We've got kind of a grasp that he has all power in heaven. When we get the revelation that he has all power in earth, we'll change the world. We'll bring the world back to him. All power in heaven and in earth. Not some power. Not what's left over in power. All power. Because one day, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Needs to start with us. We need to make him king of our life. We need to bow the knee and say to you, Lord Jesus, come, be king of my life. Be king of my life. We recognize he has all power in heaven. I'm like Joshua, I'm asking him to stop the time. All power. We, to uncover or to reveal how we've lost the kingdom. Somehow, and I can give you a lot of reasons how, but I'm not going to take time to that. But the big thing we're missing in the church in the United States is our concept of heaven. We're living life as our goal is to get to heaven. And that's a false, false teaching. It's a result of walking with Christ that we do go to be with the Lord, but our goal is not to get to heaven. It's never been our goal. It's never been the early church's goal. It wasn't the Jewish tradition. See, when we read the Gospels, we have to go back and say, how did the early church, how did the Jewish believers hear this message? What were they expecting? They had no teaching on going to heaven. Everything that God was doing was about putting it to work in their lives. Their history was built upon what God was doing through them to bless them, to be a blessing to all nations. Nothing had to do with going to heaven. Even when you hear the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisees did believe in a resurrection, but they just believed that was in a resurrection of coming back when he comes to create all. We know the Sadducees. But we've got, I'm a hospice chaplain. I help people prepare for the afterlife every day. And I'm telling you, most people's views of heaven is not scriptural. Most people's views of heaven came out of early Greek mythology and philosophers like Nato, Plato. Writers of early texts like Dante and the Inferno. It's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. And we're living as if that's the goal. Yes, it's true. When we die, we go to be with the Lord, but that's not the goal. The goal is advancing his kingdom here on earth until he comes back and recreates all things new. That's the goal. That's the business. It's not to come sit in a church and be safe until he calls us home. It's to come into the church and be equipped to go out and transform the world with his gospel message. That's the goal. That's the mission. That's what we're trying to build, is people that'll be a kingdom of priests, people that'll be a holy nation, people that'll go out into the world and live his kingdom principles. That's what he's called us to. Oh, Holy Spirit, wake us up. Wake us up. Let us have eyes to see your kingdom. Let us have ears to hear your voice. Give us a heart of understanding that we can be about your business as you were about the Father's business, Lord Jesus. Take us out of our own stuff. Shake us. Mold us. Make us. We want to be world changers. We want people to know Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want people to know BCC is bowing its knee to Jesus and proclaiming him as King of all. That's what we're called to do. That's the goal. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. We're not here to sit. I thank the elders that have been here for so long and have weathered the storm through the church's ups and downs. When the sail went up and caught the wind of the Spirit and the church was picking up more people than it could carry. But I thank him for staying on during the storms. When the ship started to fall apart and people drifted away on driftwood. And their heart, I know their heart. to see people drifting away and some aren't going to make it to shore. So you bring the boat back in. You bring it into bay, you repair the boat. You stabilize it. You get it ready. But you get it ready for this. To raise that sail one more time and to go out and preach Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're not to stay at the dock. We're not to be in the bay. We're to be out on the storms of life, weathering the storms, advancing his kingdom, preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's what John the Baptist preached when he came. The fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet from Elijah. When they were waiting for the day that an Elijah-like prophet would come. It's not new news. John came and said, I'm the prophet, but it's not me, it's him. I say, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. When he sent the 12 out, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. When he sent the 70 out, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And what he's calling us today is to repent because the kingdom of God is here. What's the kingdom look like when Jesus is in control? That's what the church has struggled with. That's what even the early believers, everybody knew when Jesus came, that he was the Messiah, the King, the one that came to usher the kingdom in. But they thought, what in the world does it look like? That's what they wrestled with. They weren't questioning whether Jesus was the King. They were questioning, what's his kingdom look like? And how do we walk in that kingdom? How do we advance that kingdom? Jesus went up on a hill. And when his disciples came to him, he sat down. And he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The whole Sermon on the Mount is what Jesus is calling us to do. To live by his principles, to practice his teachings, to go out and influence the world with his goodness. We haven't just lost the Old Testament message. We don't believe the New Testament. I can't tell you the amount of people that I talk to that Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount as the way to live in the kingdom. The character we should have in the kingdom. The way we should conduct ourselves in the kingdom. The way we should treat others in the kingdom. The way we should walk with God in the kingdom. And people say, Barry, do you take that literal? I believe this whole book is true. And I definitely believe he's calling us to live the Sermon on the Mount. If we would just love God, love people, and live the Sermon on the Mount, the world would be a different place today. And we could call ourselves followers of Christ without having to hide in the church in embarrassment, because people would see him in us. That's what he's calling us to do. And it changes everything. Is he really asking me to love my enemies? Ask him for yourself. I know where I stand. Is he really asking us not only not to murder, but not to hate? To love, to build people up and not tear them down, to stand for peace and not for war, to recognize the day that one day we can take our swords and beat them into plowshares. That's the kingdom vision. That's what transforms the world. When we forgive, it changes the battle. Is it easy? Turn the other cheek. He didn't say this was going to be an easy road. But it's a narrow road. And it's the road the world needs today. They need to see Christ in us. We need to live like Jesus. That's what the kingdom looks like. Go out. Live like Jesus. Trust. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything will be added to you. Once you make Him king, once you choose to live and line yourself up by His word and not the easy word, once you take a stand and say, I am going to follow Jesus, don't turn back. Seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. That's what we're called to do. I can tell you, it's not easy. Because He's telling us to let everything else go. Make me king and my kingdom first. And when you will do that, He says you have no worries. He said, don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. You're going to have some trouble today. But don't worry. I'm with you. I'm going to provide. He points out to creation and He says, look. Look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. Don't I care for them? Listen, church, you're His special treasure. Won't He most certainly care for you? Changes the world when you start to make your decisions on Him being king, and His kingdom is what you seek. You no longer start to say, well, how's that going to affect me? Because you recognize it's not about you. It's about Him, His plans, His purposes, His provision. He's going to take care of you. It's not about looking how to get by in this world. It's about looking to Him to go through this world and make a difference while you're here. Change the world while you're here. Seek His kingdom. Where you're at right now, it'll make a difference. Make Him king this morning. And wherever you're at, seek His kingdom. If you're in the workplace, recognize He has made you an ambassador, a special royal priest of the Most High God. And walk in that authority that He's given you. You have the power to change the atmosphere, the realm and the influence of what's going on in your culture, because you're carrying the Christ, the one that's King of Kings. But it's not easy. But it's exciting. It's the only adventure I'm going on. Sold out, folks. I'm not going back. I've burned the bridges. I don't want to go back. This is the life that I bowed my knee to some 30 years ago, and all I've been doing is trying to stay on my knee ever since. Makes a difference. And it's exciting when you go into work and recognize you're walking with the King of Kings. Because He gives you the answers you need for the problems that you have that day. Start with little steps. Take one of your little problems to Him. And see if He doesn't answer that little problem for you. And you say, wow, that's amazing. God's favors. When I came to Christ, I experienced God more in the workplace than I did the church. It's just true. God working in my life, using me, influencing, winning people to Christ, and then coming into the church and hearing about what Christ is going to do, but not seeing him do it. When I was called to the ministry, I didn't want to go into ministry because I liked being out in the kingdom. And I still like being out in the kingdom because that's where the adventure is. I can tell you, God's changed businesses because of my small seed. Walk in God's favor. Like Joseph, when you walk in God's favor, people start to take notice. You all of a sudden start to get promoted. You all of a sudden start to get a bigger realm of influence because God's favor's with you. And if you keep it on the kingdom, you're fixing the problems of the business. You're solving the solutions of the world. And people take notice. They want you around. That's why Joseph was able to get up next to Pharaoh. That's why Daniel was able to speak to King Nebuchadnezzar. Because he knew he was walking in the kingdom. He knew who his king was. And I'm telling you, the answers for the world lie right in here this morning. In his church. Every problem the world has, if we will seek him, he'll give us a solution. If we're honorable enough, if we're respectable enough, if we'll follow through with what he calls us to do, if when we hear the word we're quick to obey, he'll continue to give us the word. We want to hide from this bad news that's going on in the world today. The bad news has always been here, and it's only going to get worse unless the people of the good news go out and tell the good news. Go out and walk in the good news. Go out and fix the problems of the world today. We recognize the goodness of the world comes from believers that recognize Jesus was King. Who brought the education to the world, who's still leading the way in bringing education to people because they recognize the value of it. They recognize if you give people enough knowledge, if you teach them to fish, they won't have to depend on anybody else. We've turned over the education system and we wonder why we're in a mess. I thank all of those that have stayed in the education system. Stay there. Recognize God's using you. Keep influencing it for good. It's going to make a difference. It's going to change. Every child will have the right to a good education one day if we keep pushing the kingdom, if we keep seeing Jesus is in control. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. Who started the hospitals in the world today? It was people that got a hold of the kingdom vision. People that got a hold and said, my king wants me to take care of those people. Even though the world won't take care of them, I'll go out and take care of them. That was the early church, bringing in the sick to care for them until they had to start building buildings to care for them. God still heals. And yes, God uses the medical field to heal also. But we need to be in there. We can't give that away. It's people of the kingdom in there that make the difference. I guess the election's over. So I can raise my hand for Ben Carson today. Because he's been a hero of mine for a long, long time. Because he was a man that grew up with what everybody else would have counted out, a single mother, two brothers, in the projects of Detroit and Baltimore. His mother gave him a book instead of going out and causing trouble. And in his words, getting so angry he wanted to kill people, she said, start reading. It opened his mind up to another world. He came to know Christ and his mind broadened to the kingdom. He became the youngest top neurosurgeon in all the world. And an African-American coming across every obstacle on top of that. Because he had a vision of what God could do to him if he would submit to God. And he performed brain surgeries, taking apart babies joined together at the head with his healing hands and giving God the credit. Saying, I know I can't do this. I can't even see where I'm going. Guide my hands, God. Guide my hands. Because he humbly walked with God and believed if he would submit himself to God and make himself a vessel that God could use, he could make a difference in the world. All of us need to recognize he's king. Submit the gifts we have. Offer them to him and go out and make a difference in the world. That's the way the kingdom's advanced. We go, it's here and not yet, but I don't see it here, so it must be not yet. Well, we don't see it here yet. And that's only because we're slow to get on the kingdom wagon. When we do get a hold of the kingdom wagon, the world changes. Our country stands here today because the early founders had a vision of the kingdom and they thought they could establish a new land where Jesus would be king. They did a lot of good work, but they sold everything they had to get there. Are you ready to sell out? That's what the world needs today. We don't need talk. We need people that'll bow the knee, commit themselves, go to action wherever you are. You can make a difference. You can influence your realm of influence for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just of words, but it's of power. It's of power. There's no limits. There's no limit to what he can do. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. We put limits up. We put limits up and say, God doesn't do that. Well, I'm telling you, take those limits down. God's bigger than your limits. There's nothing that God won't do for the people he loves. If the cross taught us anything, it should teach us. Nothing that God won't do for his lost and wayward people that he's calling them back to himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for all that would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world but to save the world from their sin. Let's get on the saving boat. Let's get on the saving boat with Jesus. He will change everything. Young people, listen to me. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Listen to his kingdom message. Don't spend 30 years trying to sift your way through church religious stuff to come to the kingdom message. Get on my shoulders and just start from here and go. Get on the shoulders of the elders around us and go. Go farther, faster, more than we ever did. Change the world because you have that power within you. And that's what he's called us to do. Don't get comfortable sitting in here. Come in. Get built up. Get equipped. And go out and advance his kingdom. Because his kingdom is all that's going to endure. All that's going to endure. The goal is to turn this world upside down. With his goodness and his power. Lord, We thank you. You've called us, that you've equipped us, and that you didn't leave us alone. But you gave your Holy Spirit, who is with us. Lord, we see in your word that you started building your kingdom when you came. Forgive us, Lord, for going down other avenues, whatever they might be. Lord, I pray you call us back. Get us back on the narrow road. Get us back with you, building your kingdom, advancing your kingdom, establishing your kingdom, turning the world upside down. That's why we have such a hard time with the kingdom. Because he doesn't build it our way. He asks us to walk in his way. He asks us to live by his values and vision and mission. This is God's mission. It's a call to go out and influence the area with his power for his glory.